Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Divine Goddess Radio. We are your hosts, Marie Langley.
And Beth Jacobson.
And thank you for joining us. Our mission is to educate, empower, and enlighten.
And you can listen to us on Mondays. We have Tidbits and Tea with Beth and Marie. And we do another show, which is Phone In and Ask One Question. And we are going back to having speakers on, having a variety of different speakers. If you want to sit here and schedule an appointment with Marie or Beth or the both of us, you can go at divinegoddessradio@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook page that we would love for you to go in and like. Again, Divine Goddess Radio. And if it's a business page, just let us know about it, and then we'll go in and like your business page as well. Is there anything else that's needing to be said?
If you would like to book any events, we're available for goddess parties, and we come to your house. We come to your place of employment. They're really fun for bachelor parties, bachelorette parties, baby showers, wedding showers, birthdays.
All events.
So, you know, book with us, and you know how to get a hold of us.
That's right. I think we have everything. I'm trying to put it all in my head. I think we have everything.
Yep. So, you know, we just got through Halloween, and I know that there are people out there that just love the paranormal and love to chase ghosts and get scared and go into haunted houses. But did you know that you can do things the wrong way? So our guest today, Eric Moen. Hi, Eric.
Hello. Hi there.
Hi, Eric.
He is very involved in the paranormal field, and he's going to be sharing with us the dangers of paranormal investigation.
And there are a number of them.
Can we start off first with just tell us a little bit about yourself? So
certainly. Well, I'm Eric Moen. I've started a group called Midwest Outer Realm Followers over 5 years ago in South Minneapolis. We service the five-state area, Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, Wisconsin. We've been on a number of television shows. The biggest one was My Ghost Story, Biography Channel's My Ghost Story. And we do regional television specials with a Fargo television station, Valley News Live, every Halloween. And we just got done with a Halloween investigation of the Fargo Theater. So that's what I do.
Wow.
I've been involved with the paranormal for quite a few years now.
How did you get started?
I live in a haunted house. Yes, I do. My great-great-grandfather built the house I live in 1889. It's been in our family throughout all these years, and it is quite haunted. It's got a lot of poltergeist activity. I don't think that there's any of my relatives hanging around, if everyone needs to know that. I think it's kind of... the land is haunted,
really?
Quite frankly. I think there's a portal or something.
Okay, before we start that, can you tell people who would just start listening to this, what is paranormal?
Paranormal is anything that can't be explained by science.
Really? So that's including ghosts and...
Ghosts, UFOs. We don't do the cryptozoology, in other words, Bigfoot, but things outside of the realm of things that are explainable by science.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Wow.
So you have a house that you grew up in that was built by your ancestors, and it's not your ancestors that occupy that.
I really don't believe so, no. I think that there's like an elevator shaft to the dead or the departed that they come and go, and there seems to be one major entity that rules the roost, as it were. And we started off investigating my own house, and that's one of the dangers I want to talk about, but we'll get to that later.
Sure.
I wouldn't recommend investigating your own home that you live in, but we did, and we've got some pretty profound results from it. A lot of poltergeist things were thrown around, light bulbs were shattering, dishes were flying off shelves, literally, and I'm not exaggerating, I've got witnesses to this, and at that point I said I'm going to stop investigating my own house and start looking at other places outside my home to investigate.
Well, I will not be going to Eric's house, just so you guys know. I am not a paranormal ghost person.
How can you still live there?
Well, actually, it's quite peaceful there. like every 3 weeks something happens, something minor.
Every 3 weeks?
Roughly every 3 weeks. I can't set my watch to it, but it seems like right around the, maybe a few days before the full moon, things get active. And when I say active, there was one night about 2 months ago where I was sitting in my room, and it was about two nights before the full moon, and I heard activity, in other words, footsteps outside my bedroom door, and the bedroom door opened. And I'm used to this, okay, but it does creep me out.
Yeah.
And I knew that there wasn't going to be anyone on the other side of that door, and it did creak open, and sure enough, I opened it up fully, and there was no one there. With that being said, I think that there's a certain amount of energy that ghosts or spirit can manipulate, and once they've utilized that energy in an environment, they're kind of done for a while. So I get kind of relieved when a major poltergeist activity happens and I'm not killed. I know I got at least another couple hours to survive.
Jeez.
But I've never been hurt in my own home. So.
All right, just wait. You can be killed by
No, I don't think so. I think in regards to the dangers of the paranormal, I truly believe, and I'm not an expert, but my opinion is that there's some ground rules, the higher power, person's higher power, God, whatever, physically will not allow a ghost to, say, take an axe and hack your head off. I've never heard of it happening. I don't think it's possible, but there is psychological dangers behind paranormal investigating. You know, we talk about demon possessions and so forth, which, by the way, is so remarkably rare. Don't think that you're going to get possessed every time you walk into a haunted house. We've done over 100 cases with my team, Midwest Outer Realm Followers, and we've ran into one case of what we thought was demonic, just one out of 100. And we did take care of it, and none of us got possessed, and it was a fairly decent ending to that story.
So for people who are listening, how do you tell if your house is haunted? So let's start there.
Is there a difference between being haunted and just occupied, you know?
Well, you know, I think that ghosts in the spirit world are more common than what most people think. There are a number of ways that you can bring in things. If your home is not so, you know, so-called haunted, a Ouija board can bring in things that you don't really want. So let's start with the Ouija board, because
okay,
that's where a lot of people like to, teenagers get their hands on a Ouija board and then they're off to
yeah.
the races.
I had a horrible experience, did it once, will never do it again.
I did a research paper in college on the Ouija board, and it was called The Most Dangerous Game, and there's a book called The Most Dangerous Game. And there's a couple different dangerous aspects to the Ouija board. Number one is you're contacting the spirit world, and you don't know what you're getting a hold of. And there are no rules that say the spirit doesn't have to tell you the truth. You could be trying to contact your great aunt Bess, and the spirit comes through and says, "Hey, I'm your great aunt Bess.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you some things about yourself, gain your trust, and then I'll tell you some really horrible things." Like a teenage person, youth will say the most stupid question is, "When am I going to die?" And
yeah.
if they happen to be 15 years old, if they get a mischievous spirit, they'll say, "At the age of 16.
Yeah.
So now they live a whole year in abject horror and anxiety that they're going to die on their 16th birthday, and it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
The other aspect of the Ouija board that's very dangerous, and I feel just as dangerous, is you're accessing your subconscious mind. The subconscious mind is where we put all those thoughts and scary experiences and experiences we don't really know what to do with. We tuck it away behind our conscious mind. And when we're dealing with the automatic writing or Ouija board, we're accessing that part of the brain where things are hidden. And sometimes we don't really want to find out what's in there.
Interesting. So even automatic writing.
Automatic writing, what we do in paranormal investigating with what we call a ghost box, or sometimes called a Frank's box, is using a radio and scanning a radio station frequency band like the AM or FM band frequently and constantly. That's kind of like an electronic Ouija board where you're asking questions and spirit will use the radio waves to manipulate itself and come through and tell you messages. anytime you're accessing spirit world or the spirit or the supernatural, you're opening yourself up to possessions, oppressions, and obsessions. There's three different types of things that we can get wrapped up in. If you have a skeptical mind, that does insulate you a little bit. The biggest danger I feel that paranormal investigators, novices, face are those that are very susceptible. Belief is a very strong thing. If you believe you're going to go into a location and become possessed, your chances of becoming possessed are pretty high, or at least higher. If you're a total skeptic and you don't believe in the paranormal and you just don't have any faith in anything, your experience in that haunted house or that haunted location will probably be very boring and sedate. I try to position myself somewhere in between the two polar opposites, where I'm skeptical with an open mind. I do ground myself before and after entering these places because these things can follow you home.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they can.
And the other thing that I want to talk about is the legal aspects. Trespassing, for instance, that's a real danger in itself. You will go to jail if you trespass on someone's property that they don't want you in. That's a big no-no. It gives everyone a bad name when people start going around and trespassing into churches and things like that, historical places. That's not a cool thing to do whatsoever, and we really frown on that. When we investigate anything, we make sure we get the owner's permission in writing.
Oh, people just actually go in there without anybody's permission?
Unfortunately, there was Litchfield, Minnesota. There was a very old church that was built on an Indian battleground, and there were some trespassers, and they did all go to jail. That's very disrespectful for the church, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Well, even like I'm assuming abandoned houses where, you know, the gossip mill is, that's a haunted house, let's go in there. You know, and break in.
Then the physical dangers of breaking into these places is black mold.
Mm.
A good friend of mine, Jerry Ayers, went into a few haunted locations and developed histoplasmosis, I think.
Oh,
that's
my
how
gosh.
You pronounce it.
Yeah.
It's a lung infection.
Yep.
I think it's a mold that gets
it
in
is.
There.
It is, the black mold, yep.
It's not good. I mean, he's been suffering with that for a long time. And people don't realize that you're dealing with physical dangers of falling through floors or histoplasmosis, black mold, raccoons. I mean, there's all kinds of dreadful things out there that you need to really be cognizant of because it's a dangerous world no matter what, the physical and the spiritual as well as your subconscious. You've got three things working against you if you don't know what you're doing.
Did you define, I don't know if I blanked out there for a second when you said there's three things, the oppression, obsession, and...
This is from a biblical standpoint, and I don't want to come across as subscribing to one faith, but there are three different types of demonic activity, and that would be oppression, obsession, and possession. Possession being the worst, oppression being the second worst, and obsession probably being the least, but they're all not good things to be involved with. An example of obsession would be just getting head over heels involved with the paranormal, not being able to put books down about it, watching every TV show that comes out, and kind of letting that rule your thoughts 24/7 and just being hyper involved with it without giving your rest of your life an opportunity to blossom. And then oppression would be where depression happens and where your physical mood is changed and suicidal thoughts could come in. Some very dark things happen within your mind when you're oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
And then possession is where you physically lose contact with yourself and the entity comes through you and manipulates you. That is by far the worst and by far, thankfully, the least likely to happen, but it does happen.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, we can all think back to the movie The Exorcist, which scared the bejesus out of everybody.
That would have been possession, right?
That was possession.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, you know, okay, here's one. Was it Poltergeist? The little girl disappeared?
Mm-hmm.
Is that possible?
I don't think so.
Okay.
personally.
Okay.
Just a movie, okay.
I don't chance any of this stuff, folks, just so you know.
Yeah.
Well, Hollywood does a good job of sensationalizing a lot of this. They're in the market to make money.
Mm-hmm.
Quite frankly, when we go into a paranormal investigation, even the most active locations, it's probably 90% of the time nearly falling asleep and trying not to, followed by maybe 2% of the time by being in abject fear of things going on around you. And then it quiets down. It's like I talked about with my house. It takes an incredible amount of energy to move an object. That doesn't mean that they can't move objects, but I feel that after an object has been moved, it kind of discharges the battery, so to speak, and they don't have any energy to run off of until they kind of recoup some energy, and that may take anywhere from a half hour to an hour or so or 2 hours after the event. We investigated Fergus Falls Regional Treatment Center in Fergus Falls, Minnesota, 3 times, highly active location. All kinds of crazy things were happening. The place is huge. It's got 8 square miles. They got 8 miles of tunnels underneath the place. And it's got so much history, and so many people have gone through there. That was a highly active location where, quite frankly, it was pandemonium at times. We were walking through tunnels, and big, heavy steel doors would slam right in front of us.
Really?
We would see mists appear out of nowhere. Two of my team members actually saw a spirit manifest and walked through the main lobby area of the old sanatorium.
What are the mists about?
The mists, I feel a mist is an apparition attempting to manifest itself and not having enough juice to do enough energy to actually come through as a full-body apparition. It's the start of a full-body apparition.
Oh,
it would be akin to a funnel tornado developing into an actual tornado. You know, you got the funnel clouds swirling around, and when they come down and hit the ground, that's a tornado. So the spirit world is somewhat similar, if I can use an analogy.
So when you do your investigations, do you do them in the day or at night, or is it any whatever? It doesn't matter?
It doesn't really matter. It's always best to do it at night. Not that the spirit world quiets down during the day, or that it's not that the spirit world gets more active at night. What happens is our senses become more acute at night. And it goes back to, some people liken it back to the caveman days when we were hunter-gatherers and we were by the fire. And the natural world was a very scary place. We didn't have guns, and we had to be super vigilant of our surroundings. Evolutionary-wise, our senses got honed so much better at night that our hearing gets better, our sight gets better, and that's carried through to modern day. So that's why we do it at night. And then the other reason we do it at night is the natural world quiets down. There's not as much traffic outside. People are sleeping. Air traffic has slowed down. So there are a number of reasons why we do it at night.
Oh, I always wondered.
But
okay.
Otherwise, you know, a ghost is a ghost is a ghost, whether it's 1 in the afternoon or if it's 1 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay, so supposing somebody out there in listener land is suspecting that their house is haunted, what do they look for and what should they do and not do in order to validate whether or not it's haunted?
Well, temperature changes are a big clue. If
okay.
it gets suddenly colder or suddenly warmer, colder is usually what happens.
Okay.
If you're in an environment like the living room or someplace and it suddenly gets colder, or the hair on the back of your neck starts standing up, that could mean static charges building, and we feel that a ghost or an apparition or spirit, when it's close to you, will produce a static charge, and that'll actually raise the hair on the back of your neck. They can drop the temperature or lower the temperature. Obviously, if things are flying off the shelf, which is extremely rare, but it does happen in my house, that's an example of poltergeist activity. Poltergeist in German means noisy ghost.
Okay.
So that, and, you know, your intuition is very strong with people. If you're getting the what I like to call the heebie-jeebies, if you're feeling like something's watching you, you're probably right. Something probably is watching you. If you have animals, cats or dogs, they start growling or hissing at something out of the complete blue, they're probably reacting to something that we can't see.
Mm-hmm.
No, I've got a question for you. I know for a fact there's a lot of activity in my house.
Wait, let him finish, because I.
No, that's about it.
Okay, but what should they do, and what shouldn't they do?
I would suggest calling in a reputable paranormal group from your area.
Okay.
That's going to be careful. That isn't going to stir the pot. That won't bring in a Ouija board. That will respectfully respect your surroundings. I would not investigate on your own. One of the big no-nos I would tell people not to do is to attempt recording, and that's what we call electronic voice phenomena.
Okay.
You can record, and I'm going to tell you exactly how to do it, but don't do it. You can use any type of recording device, whether it be a cassette recorder, a digital voice recorder, or even your phone's voice recorder. And just set it out and just start recording. You can get voices imprinted on that medium, whether it be the digital imprint or the magnetic tape imprint of a cassette recorder. You won't hear it with your physical ear, but after you play it back, you'll hear it, and that's called electronic voice phenomena. That's one of the number one things, and that's the number one form of evidence we gather in a haunted location, is electronic voice phenomena. Like I said, these things are very similar to a Ouija board. They can tell you whatever they want to tell you. There's no rule book that says that they have to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
So you can get some dreadful messages coming through, some very frightening things, or some very truthful, you know, responses. So it's up to the seasoned paranormal group to ferret out what's exactly happening there.
Okay.
Usually nothing bad is happening in the home. Like I said, ghosts are more common than what we think. And they're basically just us after we pass on. In other words, if you were a jerk in real life, you're going to come back as a jerk. You might be stuck. If you're a nice person, you're probably a nice person just hanging around. Why are there ghosts hanging around is probably the next question. No one knows for sure. One of the thoughts is that if you died a tragic death and were taken out really quickly, suddenly without knowing, you might be discombobulated and you might not know where you're at right away, and it might take you a while to figure out where to go.
Mm.
The other thought is you're comfortable in this realm.
Do you think it can take centuries for some to figure it out?
I wouldn't say I would say maybe 2 centuries at the very most. In the example of a person being struck by a car, I think they figure it out pretty quick.
I don't think that they're
going to be stuck for that long.
Yeah.
I do believe in a higher power, God, as it were, that loving and caring higher power will see fit that angels or whatever its servants and messengers are will guide that spirit on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are some things that choose not to. We have free wills. If, as far as clearing things out goes, I'm not really too big on me taking the place of God and telling the spirit, you have to go to the light, because I think that my higher power has the potential and the capability of guiding these things there. These things are here for a reason. They may like it here, or they might be afraid of going to the light. And that's not up to me to judge why they're here. I could help them move on. If something's stuck, I could say, you know, you might want to look around your surroundings and go towards the people that are calling your name that you love and trust.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the examples of the people that have been taken out real quick and they don't know where they're at. Those people can be helped.
Okay.
The ones that have been hanging around for a while, I don't know. Maybe it's not their time. Maybe they need to learn a lesson. Maybe they need to find out some answers to some questions that are still in this world. The other thing is that maybe the spirit, say he was like to work in his basement, and his favorite place of his life was to make model airplanes in his basement, and that's the place that's comfortable for him. And I'll say this and be quiet. There's another type of haunting which is called residual. The residual haunting is like a fabric of time being replayed over and over. It's not intelligent. You find that a lot in theaters where you'll hear music playing over randomly over and over. Sometimes you'll even see apparitions of like dance lines, and that's not intelligent. It's just a
Billy's is like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Anoka. It's a restaurant.
Why does that happen?
I don't know.
I've experienced that.
I don't know why. I think it's just something that happens over and over, a repetitive thing that happened in life over and over again. And the emotion of, like, a crowd, I'm getting the goosebumps now talking about this, is that the emotion, the joy or the sorrow or whatever emotion is so strong that it imprinted time, and it just stuck, and it randomly just replays itself.
Interesting. Yeah, because I know I've heard, you'll hear people talking about their houses, and they'll say, oh, I know there's a ghost in my house, but very friendly, doesn't do anything to us, so I just say, hey, if you want to hang around, hang around. And I'm looking at him like, are you kidding me? I'd be going, no. My house has to be clear. Thank you very much.
Well, there's ways to clear things out, too. You know, we do a lot of Native American clearings with sage and other types of things. And we try, when we do a lot of clearings for people. It's not that we move them on to, we don't take the place of God where we move them to some place where they don't want to be, but we will gently coax them out of the house. It's
sure.
Like it's time to go. You got to find someplace else to go. And so we work within their religious model. If the family is Jewish and we come in with crosses, that's not going to work for the family because they're going to be offended,
right?
And they're going to not believe that our clearing is effective.
Mm-hmm.
It's a I talked about belief earlier. It's about empowering the living more than it is about empowering the dead.
Oh.
Take charge of your own space. This is your home. If you feel comfortable with whatever's living in your house, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
As long as no one's getting hurt.
Right.
And that happens so rarely that, to be honest with you, I've never heard of anyone being pushed downstairs.
See, and I've heard of, like, people will say they wake up with bruises or
bruises
bite
and scratches
marks.
And bites and burns. That can happen. I truly believe
that can happen. Okay.
And that's the time where something has to go. That's not cool.
Okay.
That is
not
acceptable. They are pushing their limits. It's like the eviction notice is going to happen
soon. Yeah, okay. I've heard a couple like that, and I'm like, and you're letting them stay? Why? You need to do something. You.
Some people are drama queens, too.
That's
they
true.
Like that.
And they draw that, yeah. They
yeah.
Yeah. I went to a little seminar about someone who, that's what he does, is he clears houses, and he was showing all these evidences of hauntings. And there was a lady who, he's been to her house numerous times. But just by the way she was talking, she enjoyed it, even though she was scared out of her gourd. But it gave her something to talk about,
mm-hmm.
and for her to bring this person back in. And it's like, wow, you just love the drama. And she just kept bringing it and bringing it and bringing it. It's like, let it go.
We talked about obsession. That would definitely
be the obsession. Okay.
And I'm not going to say that's demonic obsession, but that is a form of obsession,
gotcha.
Which doesn't really serve a good end.
No, not at all. I mean, why do you want to live that way? Ick.
Mm.
So, Beth, go for it. I know you're dying to know.
So, like, how long does it take to go into the house, and, like, what's the cost?
We don't charge anything for our services. A lot of people will charge for clearings, and I have no opinion on whether a person charges or does not charge. We choose not to charge. What we do is, typically, if we investigate it, about 4 hours, 4 or 5 hours, depends on how active the location is. What we like to do is go in there and try to get some evidence and figure out what's there, and that takes about 4 or 5 hours at least, at the very minimum. And we set up a lot of equipment. We set up recorders and night.
I know where they're going next.
Well, that sounds good.
I don't know if I want to know everything. It's like, oh, God.
I think I know where you're going with this.
I don't want the headhunters to come
for. Well, I know. Beth does have a lot of activity in the house that she rents.
And I guarantee this is not, we're talking definitely there is a portal in the house. And I've been in my upstairs bathroom before, and completely on the outside is a window, and you can see it lit up. And so you know there's ship stuff going on.
Yeah.
So there's stuff that's coming in, and it's like, what the hell do I have to do to keep the SOBs out of there? And I swear to God that they're coming in through a window, because I hear it knocking, and you hear things down in the basement all the time, especially when somebody isn't home in that space right at that moment. I swear to God, all of a sudden it is like active like no tomorrow.
Well, you're a very spiritual person. I think that what you could do for yourself is to set up wards around the house, especially if you feel that this window...
Set up what?
Wards, W-A-R-D-S, wards.
Oh.
And that would be a religious symbol that you have faith in.
Oh.
And set it on around in the window, and you need to put some intention behind it with yourself, though. You need to psychically empower that object to tell the things you cannot cross this. It's all about empowering yourself and your environment with your spirituality. And an object is a focus, is a piece of a focus for you. That's something that you can remind yourself. You can look at that, whether it be a cross, whether it be whatever it happens to be, whatever your religious attunement is. That's a reminder that this is my space. You have to stay out.
Are aliens really going to care about that?
Aliens and ghosts, there's a link between that. Yeah, I would say yes. I would say yes.
So,
I can't explain it fully or reasonably, but I do feel that our intentions really make a difference.
Oh, yeah.
But can you use crystals?
Crystals are great.
Okay.
Crystals are great.
Well,
and I kind of ascribe
to crystals.
You can barely
walk in her house. She's got crystals everywhere. Don't come up here.
My house is
pretty loaded
off. You cross over this line, that's it. Get out.
But if you're having troubles around the one specific window, we could talk about some ideas that you could put into place around that window.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, they haven't hurt me, but I'm telling you the stories I could tell you with what I see coming.
But do they bother you?
Tears. Well, when they're freaking me out, all of a sudden stuff's
yeah.
going on. It's like, and like you said, you could be sitting there like, God dang it, you know, and you can feel presence around and,
mm-hmm.
you know, bedroom doors shut don't mean anything. You know, they can
yeah.
come anywhere they want. It's like, oh, heck no. I don't think so. Get your ass out of here. Get your arse out of here. You know, but yesterday was a very active night, too. I mean, I've seen thousands of beings marching up the stairs, going and right around the corner into my bathroom. So I am assuming there's a portal in the bathroom. Probably
yes.
even the toilet. I would probably even say the toilet is probably where it's at.
Well, then I would suggest having myself or another person that you trust that has experience with clearings come over and perform a clearing and set up some type of wards where these things. So, to be honest with you, there are some things that you really can't get rid of. You just have to deal with them.
Hmm. What are some
very,
of them?
Okay,
really?
If we're going to talk the esoteric, we can talk about things like called the Shi, which are fairies. The Shi,
oh, okay.
fairies,
no.
Trolls, they're all different forms of the same entity.
Yeah.
They're
mm-hmm.
elementals that you don't mess with.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't deal with them in any way, shape, or form. Fairies, they sound like they're nice and pleasant, and a lot of times they are. But you need to be very mindful that these things are mischievous. And a lot of times, like with the fae, or the she, as it were, in Celtic belief, the fae is a British connotation to the same thing as the she. They're elemental things, very ancient. They're not human. And you basically just got to put up with them. And you can set up, like, an iron stake in the ground will kind of neutralize them. I'm not talking about being slaves to these beings at all. I'm telling you not to engage them. And a lot of times, like, if it happens to be the fae or the she or the fairies, an iron stake in a part of your house in your yard will keep them at bay.
Oh, an
and there's
iron stake.
Some Native American beliefs also of some things that I'm not even going to repeat the name of.
Yeah.
That you have to kind of a monthly offering for them. These are all beliefs now. These are beliefs, and everyone's belief system is different. If you believe that you have one of these Native American spirits that cannot be dealt with, you will have to make a weekly or monthly offering to them to keep them at bay, if you set up terms with them. Now, this is all stuff that...
what do you mean an offering?
Like a tobacco.
Oh, okay, I'm going.
Tobacco. We're not talking... Not children or anything. God.
So she's putting me as a sacrificial goat now.
Cut, clear, delete. No, it's something like as simple as a tobacco offering.
Oh, okay.
Something that shows respect.
Okay.
This is something that you need to talk with your spiritual advisor about, though. I wouldn't go around with just listening after this radio show and just doing things haphazardly. You need to have it investigated and go with your spiritual beliefs. That's going to empower you the best.
Very interesting.
And this is all conjecture at this point. Let me really highly emphasize that there are no experts in this field. There are people with knowledge and that are more knowledgeable. I'm great at debunking things because wiring can give off the heebie-jeebies, bad wiring in a house, bad pipes. I mean, I try to look for the physical explanations before I go to the spiritual.
Oh, Christ, I wish it was so settling. However, you know, there's nothing because I can see it, and I'm like, but you know, like I say, it could just surprise you all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the one that really got me was when I was literally seeing thousands, and they were coming up, and I'm like, oh, my God, where are you coming from?
Grand Central Station.
It was Grand Central Station, but it's Grand Central.
I think it's hilarious that somehow she thinks her toilet is a portal. Because
I'm
like,
to God,
isn't that kind of symbolic that they're going down? You could be just keep pushing the flusher and flush.
Well, there, it's in the bathroom, but where is that? I do not know.
Water is known to be a conduit for spirit.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So water is, you know, you might have something.
And I've told you. When I'm visiting the space, the experiences that I have, it's crazy. So that's the only reason I've come to that conclusion. From going, this has got to be a flipping portal. Of some
well, your sort. Intuition is probably pretty accurate on this, too. So,
I mean, in that bathroom, I swear to God, I've been in space in that bathroom. It's like, it is crazy. And this isn't my house. It's not my house.
Okay.
So it's like, my God. I've never had this kind of activity before other than when I had a grandmother whose house was very, very active, but it was all ancestors when I was a kid.
Okay.
And then I went out there in my 20s, and it was still the same way, but I could feel all my ancestors, and they were always talking to me. So, but I've been in some crazy, crazy houses, let me tell you, that I've run out. I could tell you some stories of my own. But what I want to find out, what are some of your craziest experiences?
There was a house in East St. Paul that we investigated that was very active. A lot of poltergeist activity where doors were slamming and objects were being moved around.
It wasn't on 3rd Street, was it?
I can't reveal.
Because
it was a very old home.
Like that.
We were down in the basement, and we were just kind of absorbing the milieu of the environment, as it were, the how it felt psychically, and we're very quiet. And Diana, an old team member of ours, was sitting on the couch, and something scratched, I mean, literally, loudly, violently scratched the couch right next to her.
Ooh.
And there were 3 claw marks there.
Ooh.
And that was pretty remarkably scary.
Ew.
We did clear that house successfully, I might add. The homeowners are, as far as I know, in peace right now. We've had other things. We have Alan Woods is our team psychic or medium. The craziest story is there was, we got a call from an individual that moved into his sister and brother-in-law's house in Richfield, Minnesota. And he was complaining of a lot of bad things happening in the house, moving objects, just feeling really not good and not liking the environment at all, just hating to go home at night because he felt it was quote-unquote haunted. And he was talking about his brother-in-law bringing home a Civil War knife and putting it in the cabinet. He said, the strangest thing, I get so creeped out by that knife. And so he goes, can you come over and investigate? And yeah, sure, we can. So we did. And before we did the investigation, I had our team psychic, Alan, do a remote reading on the house. I just gave him the address and the name of the individual and the names of his family members in the house. No other history of the house, and Alan said, it appears his brother-in-law brought home a Civil War knife X amount of days ago. That has to go because something's attached to it. I was floored, and I was skeptical of psychics. It's like, Alan, you are the man. You know, he picked it out, and they got rid of the knife, and sure enough, the activity died down.
Wow.
That was the craziest story I have.
And what do people have to do with that? Because if you get rid of it, it goes to somebody else. So is that something you'd want to bury?
Bury is a good thing, yes.
Yeah. Like 20 feet below.
Or, you know, sell it with the caveat, you know, this has got some bad mojo behind it. Just buyer beware. Some people like to buy that stuff. You know, John Zaffis, the haunted collector, collects those things.
Wow.
So there are places for it to go, you know, but.
What about, you know, I've had a couple of experiences where, you know, you're sleeping and you kind of feel something.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden you can feel it coming closer and closer and you just, you can't move.
Sleep paralysis.
Yeah. Is that ghost or is that more?
There's scientific explanations for it, which I don't have I can't go into a whole dissertation, but there is a scientific explanation, rationale behind sleep paralysis, and there's also a spiritual. It's kind of like the whole Ouija board thing, you know, there's two different sides of the coin. It's all in what basket you want to put your eggs in.
When it happens, I'm like, Michael, get your sword, put my protection up. Because I always feel I don't feel it's ghost.
Yeah.
I feel it's more
dark.
Esoteric?
Yeah.
Yeah,
really
I would
alien
say.
Alien or something coming at me, so.
I don't have a clear answer for you if it happens to be alien. I don't have a clear answer to how to address that. I don't deal with a lot of sleep paralysis. I know that it's a very scary phenomenon. I've never had the displeasure of experiencing that, and I hope I never do. I hear it's terrible.
It is terrible because you know it's like you feel like something's coming right at you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're trying to move and you can't and you're trying to open your eyes and I've been able to get out of it because I become conscious of it right away and I'm like, oh, I got to put my protection up. Something's coming at me.
Something's working for you.
Something,
then.
Yeah. So it comes up and then it takes me a while. And I mean, nothing could penetrate what goes around my bed at that point because
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, it's so, and then it's so light in the room, I can physically see white light. I bring that much into it.
So you're doing what you need to do then.
Yeah, I just didn't know if you had experience with that.
I've heard people talk about it, but I've personally never had any experience.
Okay.
And I do know that if it is a scientific explanation, that no one's ever died from it. It's
oh,
just
no.
highly uncomfortable.
It's
just not
it's
fun
weird.
To go through.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yep.
It is so crazy.
There's a question in the chat room. Do you
sure.
want to see if you can answer it?
Sure.
What is the best way to clear a space of negative energy?
That's a great question. What I usually do is I take sage, I start on the bottom floor of the basement area, and it's highly critical to open windows when you're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And a shaman had taught me how to do this is I'll burn sage and I'll go four times counterclockwise around the perimeter of the room with the windows open, then four times clockwise around the room, go up to the top floor, repeat process with windows. You have to have at least one major doorway open on the main floor.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have basement windows, that's fine. Just make sure that the main door is open. Okay, so you go counterclockwise four times around each room, then clockwise four times around, go up to the top level, do counterclockwise and then clockwise with burning sage and then the main floor and do the same thing. And what I'll do is I'll take some salt after it's all been cleared. While I'm inside the house, place a line of salt outside of the door in major entrances. While I'm still in the house, I'll place a physical barrier of salt. Now, it's very important to remember that when you're doing this is that you want to empower your place with positive energy from yourself. When you're going counterclockwise, what you're doing is you're removing negative energies. You're removing and you're banishing, as it were. You're saying things like, this is my home, you have no place to stay, it's time to go. And if you are Christian, you want to use some Christian blessings, Jewish, whatever your religious flavor is, whatever rocks your world, you need to do that because this is about you as much as it is the entity. You're telling that thing you mean business. And then when you're going clockwise, you're bringing in blessings. You're singing the praises of your higher power. You're welcoming in the light. By laying the salt, that's keeping things from coming back in. It doesn't have to stay there forever and ever. You know, it'll the wind will blow it around, but it's a symbolic gesture, and the salt does seem to have a lot of power behind it.
So it's not bedroom doors. It'd be the door coming into the
house. The main entrances, the front door, the back door, and the garage door.
So do you go room by room and do those? Or
you
just
do
it,
you do
landing?
The whole, every room in each floor,
yeah.
Counterclockwise and then clockwise.
Interesting, because that's how my pendulum works, too. If it goes counterclockwise, I know there's negative,
mm-hmm.
and then I wait for it to stop, and then it'll go clockwise
exactly.
once it's cleared. Yeah. Interesting. I just usually take my sage and just go around in every corner, room by room.
That works, too, if you believe it works.
Yeah, okay.
It really is about belief.
Mm-hmm.
I do subscribe that the spirit world, when I say counterclockwise and clockwise, you're kind of operating on what is the majority of the world believes also, because there's power behind collective thought.
Sure.
And if these beings know that there's so much mojo behind a ritual that's been established, let's talk about, I don't mean to digress too much, but let's talk about aspirin for a moment. A Native American chews the bark of a, he's got a horrible headache, chews the bark of a birch tree. His headache is gone. He tells his buddy, I chewed the bark of this tree, it's gone. Two people. All of a sudden, you get aspirin synthesized out of a bark of a tree. It's been curing headaches for millennia. That's a real basic type of reinforcement of collective thought. And I'm sure there's chemical properties behind aspirin, too, that do medically work. The placebo effect, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
50% of sugar cubes will take care of a headache
they
think it's aspirin.
Right. Hey, when you're doing your room,
mm-hmm.
is it, do you need to open, like, cupboards and
closets?
Yeah,
totally.
Everything?
Totally. You need to get in
so
every
no
nook
matter
and
what,
cranny.
Like a linen closet, whatever you have in your bathroom, open everything. Okay.
Because these things can are thought to hide and just kind of duck out.
Okay. And how often do you recommend doing that?
It should last at least a month, I would imagine. I would say a maintenance of about once every month thereafter.
And your drawers, too, like on your dressers?
Yeah.
Everything. God, that's so okay.
You don't have to be, you know...
anal about it, but...
Yeah, you don't have to be obsessive about it, but everything should be, you know, given some smoke.
Okay.
And be careful with sweetgrass. A lot of people will use sweetgrass, but when you're doing an investigation with sweetgrass without anything else, if you're burning just sweetgrass, that what we believe thins the veil. So you want activity, burn some sweetgrass, you will get activity because you're thinning the veil and you're creating an entrance way for these things to come in. Sweetgrass is very powerful to place over your bed to keep nightmares away as long as you don't burn it. Sweetgrass is a powerful blessing, or what I talked about, a ward to place over your front and back entry doors of your home that keeps things out. That's another great use for sweetgrass. But be mindful if you're going to burn it that you're actually thinning the veil and you're creating an easier way for these entities to come into
what's
your
environment. What's in it that it creates a thinner veil?
I don't know.
Really? Because I had a native that was here when my ex was living here. And he was saying, God, you know, there's something here. And I'm like, well, yeah. You know, I brought it in with him. But he, when I wasn't home, he burned a little sweetgrass.
It depends. If his belief system was that it helped?
Well, he's Lakota.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was, I would say what he did wasn't wrong. But I would be, that's my experience.
I saged after.
Okay, that's good. My experience is that sweetgrass, if just used by itself, burned by itself, can thin the veil. Mm-hmm. And if you've got enough intention behind your thought process after the veil has been thinned that you're going to tell these things to stay out,
because I'm sure he had his drums and he did some ceremony.
In that ceremony, I would say that was effective then and a good thing to do because he knew what he was doing.
Yes, he did know what he was doing, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And sometimes... when people are just doing things that they really don't know what they're doing, they can get. That's another danger of the paranormal. Is if you're unsure of yourself, that's not good. You need to be positive of what you're doing.
Yeah.
And confident. Confidence is not underrated.
Would you recommend using a sage spray if you don't have the?
Some people do that.
Yeah.
Sure.
What about Palo Santo?
I love Palo Santo. I think that is very pleasing to the gods or to God or to your higher power. I think that's a very good wood to use.
Yeah.
I love that stuff.
Yeah. I think it's more, I mean, I feel the energy is different with the Palo versus the sage. Like the sage is very
neutralizing.
Surface.
Yeah.
Where Palo Santo really gets in deep, I guess.
I would say I would recommend using Palo Santo when you're doing the clockwise movement around your home. That's such a wonderful smelling wood, too.
Do you use dowsing sticks at all?
I do not, but I'm not opposed to using dowsing sticks, dowsing rods at all, no. I know a lot of people that do that are very good with them. I think they're very powerful tools that can be definitely used, such as, you know, similar to pendulums and
mm-hmm,
so forth.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Hmm. Interesting.
Is there anything else that you want to share?
How are we doing on time right now?
We have about 8 minutes.
8 minutes?
Oh, that went by fast.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm trying to think of the other dangers that a person would have to consider, and that would be legal. This is the other aspect I never covered. As a paranormal investigator, this is something that isn't really talked about too much. We always get the written consent from the homeowner or the landowner. If we go into an apartment building and we don't get the written consent, or if we're going into a rented home from the owner and we find that there's activity there, that it is indeed haunted, we're liable now. All of a sudden, we've created this entity in this home. We've verified that it is there. And they go to sell the home or the property, all of a sudden they've got a haunted property on their hands. No one's going to want to buy that. They can actually come after and sue the team that went in there for defamation of property.
Wow.
It's very serious. This is not, people think that the paranormal is a joke. This is no joke. There's ramifications, legal, physical, and spiritual, all over the place with this field. It's very real. Even if you're a total skeptic, there are problems.
Because as a realtor in Minnesota,
mm-hmm.
you do not have to disclose ghosts.
You do not, but some states you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Minnesota you don't.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm glad that you brought that up.
Yep.
But if it gets out in print, they can sue you. Say a paranormal team, well, we were at 28th in Chicago in South Minneapolis at 28XX, you know, whatever the address happened to be,
mm-hmm.
and we got all these findings on it, and they printed it, they put it on their website, and so the whole world knows about it. It's on the internet now.
Mm-hmm.
The family that rents the place moves out. Now all of a sudden everyone knows that this 2800 Chicago Avenue in South Minneapolis is haunted. The owner can't rent the place out. So who's he going to go after? He's going to go after the team that says this place is haunted. Now you have to create restitution for me.
Oh, really? Interesting.
It's happened in other states. I'm not so sure about Minnesota, but it has happened in other states. It's a real thing that can happen.
Yeah, I would say Minnesota, because it's not a disclosure law,
mm-hmm.
that releases everybody from liability, because no one is, you know, if it's disclosed, it's disclosed, then it's buyer beware.
Yeah.
If it's not disclosed, they're not, sellers aren't required to disclose it.
Okay.
So, there was another question in the chat room about a spray you have on your
website? Yeah, the Entity Begun. It's now called Better Sleep.
Okay.
And we have used that for negative energies. It's used primarily now for nightmare relief.
Oh.
My business partner Steve has developed that. It's got some really cool stuff in it. It's guaranteed, not very expensive, and if you have a problem with it, if you're unhappy with it, it's within, by any means, we do offer a money-back guarantee on it.
Is there sage in it?
We cannot say what's in it.
Oh, you can't say what's in
it.
Okay.
It's harmless, so you're not going to get sick from it.
It's natural. Okay.
It's natural.
Okay.
You can drink it, and you're not going to get sick.
Gotcha. Okay.
But it does, it's very effective for we've used it for entities before, but right now it's being marketed primarily for better sleep.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So is it good for kids? Like,
yeah, it's good,
you know,
for everyone.
Okay.
Dogs, kids, cats, humans,
oh.
whatever. It's good stuff. There's a proprietary ingredient in there that we feel is very effective. One of the things I can disclose in it is holy water, but we've got some other things in it that are very highly effective in neutralizing negative energies, particularly negative energies.
Interesting. So they could actually order that and
they can order
around
that through ParanormalGadgets.com.
Okay.
That's www.ParanormalGadgets.com.
Okay. So,
how come you can't mention what's in it? I'm just curious.
Proprietary.
It's a secret.
Okay.
It's a secret.
Secret, folks. It's a secret.
Yeah, that's right.
So if somebody wanted to do an investigation, how would they get a hold of you?
Midwest Outer Realm Followers on Google or www.MidwestOuterParanormal.com. We do serve the five-state area. That's www.MidwestOuterParanormal.com. Get a hold of me. We've got a phone number on there, and we also have an email address.
So you go to Minnesota, Iowa?
Wisconsin, North and South Dakota, if our time permits.
Okay.
We don't charge for investigations either.
Okay.
Oh.
We do take donations for gas. I mean, if we're going to go out to Mandan, North Dakota, or wherever it's either North or South Dakota, one of those Dakotas, we would hope that we could get some reimbursement on gas, but, you know, we don't even require that either.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do land clearings too?
Yes.
Okay. Like if someone's built on a burial land and they didn't know it?
Wow, yeah. We have done that before. None of this is guaranteed, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't charge anything anyway, so it's you're not out any money. We'll do our best. We will do our best. That's all we can say is we will do our best. We've got a highly, highly effective rate for clearings. It's like in the 90%. People don't call us back. I mean, we're very effective with our clearings.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. So any final words of advice?
It's a fascinating field. If you're interested, do some reading up. Be careful. Ground yourself. Do things legally. It's a fun field. I would suggest that if you are involved, wanted to get involved with it, go to some places and do some daytime investigating. You can go to a cemetery respectfully during the daytime, during legal hours, and do some recording, and you might get something. Do things legally, though.
Do you ever have people that can sign on to do a investigation with you?
Very rarely do we take people on.
Is that a liability kind of thing?
Yeah, not so much that. It's just that we've got so many people trying to go on investigations. One of our hallmarks of our team is that we're small.
Mm.
We don't have 12 people coming in there to pollute the environment with a bunch of chatter.
Gotcha.
And I'm not slighting other teams that have 12 members. It's just that for us it works better with three or four people is all.
Okay. Wow. Well, I hope this information has been helpful to all of you listening. Just, you know, the big takeaway is don't do stuff on your own because you never know what you're going to pull in, really.
Right.
You never know what you're going to pull in.
I find it fascinating. I have questions to ask after we're off the air.
Well, thank you so much, Eric.
Thank
we
you,
really
Eric.
Appreciate you being on with us today.
Thank you, Marie and Beth, for having me on.
Absolutely.
Very, very enjoyable.
Oh, good, good. And remember, if you want to pass the word on this show, it'll be podcasted after we're done, so you can always listen to it again. And you guys have a fabulous week, and we will catch you next week.
Yes. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening.
Yep. Bye-bye.